Welcome back to the Two Fish Podcast. My name is Nick.
I'm Aaron.
And this week we're going to look at the thought, you know Jesus, but how does Jesus know you?
Welcome back, Two Fish community. We are excited to be here with you. We hope that you have shared this episode, not this episode, the last episodes with one of your friends, and you've invited them along to join you in the Bible studies and dive even deeper after you listen to the episode into what we had talked about.
Yeah, the last weeks, we've been running through Titus, and we finally finished that up. Titus, is that right?
Philemon.
Oh, Philemon. Yes, that's right. We did do that, just a one-pager out of the Bible. And, I mean, it's almost been a month, 2 months ago, we had this conversation of, you know, you have a friend that came to Christ. What do we do now? And we talked about that coming to know Jesus. And then this week, Aaron and I were just kind of discussing some stuff. And we had the thought of, okay, well, we know Jesus. Maybe we had this mountaintop experience. We had this emotional experience where we've come to a place of repentance and of knowing that we need God, and we become Christ followers.
Yeah.
But through our journey, there's just this question in my mind is, yeah, we know Jesus, but does he necessarily remember who we are? Of course he does, but why? Why is he remembering us? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's an interesting thought. I ran across the thought from it was a kid on like TikTok or something. And the story kind of went like this. How great would it be when you get to heaven that you don't have to plea your case at all? That when you show up there, Jesus says, Father, this is my servant Nick. He has been faithful. He has served me well. I know him by name. I know him inside and out. His heart was for you. When I called his name, he did what I asked him to do.
Yeah.
He fell short here and there, but this is my brother, Nick.
Yeah. I think that's an amazing thought, just to know that we don't have to do that pleading. Because, I mean, now you walk in front of a judge. The judge probably has a couple pieces of paper explaining what the case is, but he doesn't know, or she doesn't know the actual ins and outs. She doesn't know who you are. And that's your chance to explain why maybe you're not guilty and why you deserve freedom or whatever it be in the legal way. But you have to get up there and you have to plead for that. You have to prove yourself, or the other side has to prove that you're guilty. And in this conversation, we're Christ followers and we don't have to do that because Jesus does it for us.
But that's where you ponder the question. I know Jesus. Does he know me? When I get there, is he going to say, who are you? Which, if you go to the parable of the 10 virgins at the end of it, Matthew 25:11-13, later the others also came, Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. And that's his reply to them saying, I understand you know who I am, but I don't know who in the world you are. And then in the next verse, it tells you, therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day and the hour, which would be the day and the hour of Jesus coming back.
Yeah.
You need to be prepared for that day. If it's tomorrow, if it happens in the next 10 minutes, are you prepared for that? Is Jesus going to know you? Or when you knock on that door, is he going to open the peephole and say, I don't know you?
Yeah, I like that. And that story really calls to the part of the Christian walk that says you need to be ready. You need to be looking for the day that I return, because I promise I'm going to return. And what's cool is, and actually this past week, this is interesting that we started talking about this week, because this past week, I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but we started going to a new church, and he brought this new guy, brought this message, and he was basically saying, we're in the last days. Now, of course, every generation before us has thought the same thing.
Right.
I remember my grandpa when I was a little kid. Hey, in my lifetime, it's coming. Of course, he's since passed. Obviously, it didn't come during that time. And I think every generation has always said that. And the pastor at this new church we're going to, he said, that's a good thing. Because we should always be on the edge of our seat in anticipation that day. Ready for that day. And what do we need to be doing? We need to be doing kingdom work. And that was kind of what his message was about, is doing the kingdom work right up to the very end, being ready. And what the parable of the 10 virgins is, hey, there's half of you that are going to be ready and half of you that aren't. They probably think you're ready that aren't.
Right.
And when the time comes, you realize you missed it. These 10 virgins are saying, hey, oh, actually, you weren't ready. You weren't doing kingdom work. Not that that's required, but you thought you knew me, but you really didn't, because I didn't know you.
And it is, it's a very, like, we're probably only going to be surface level here, right? Like, this is a very deep topic, because you brought up the work thing. Well, it's not work-based.
Yeah.
But yet there is work to be done, and it's faith-based, but yet there's work to be done.
Yeah.
And what good's your works without the faith?
Yeah.
And what good's your faith without the works? And then you come to the concept of, well, God created everybody, so how does he not know me? Which is where my mind gets all twisted up. And
this is a rabbit hole, yeah.
Just a huge cluster up there of like, well, wait a minute. He created me. He knew me before I was even born. He knew the rabbit hole I would go down in life to eventually come to him and to know that I am called at this point. So now that I'm at that point, and like you brought up, we talked about after Easter, well, your friend got baptized, now what? Right? And I'm still sitting in that category of now what? As I'm pondering this question, well, does Jesus know me? And through talking with some friends, I was like, you know, I think a part of it is when you hear him, do you respond? When he calls on Aaron, I need you to go pray for that guy. And you're like, Jesus, it's the middle of service. Like, I'm not going to go pray for that guy. He's like, well, you pray for him after service. Well, that's going to be really awkward, Jesus. I don't think I want to do that. And you're like, and then you give him the ultimatum. Well, if he gets up early, I'll get up and I'll go pray with him. So, of course, guy gets up early, right? And do you go pray with him?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I did. It was a real-life scenario. But earlier in my stage in Christianity or thinking I'm a Christian, I probably wouldn't have.
Yeah. I think that's the side of it is, do we know Jesus? Are we diving into God's word? Are we constantly in prayer in the Spirit, trying to feel his Spirit, trying to understand those callings? I think that points to us knowing Jesus and hearing, being able to distinguish the voice and a nudge from the Holy Spirit versus, you know, some bad tacos. It's understanding that. To me, that's when I think about it, that's the, do I know Jesus? But then the other flip side of that is, does he know me, and how does he know me? I think for a lot of us, and I can sometimes put myself in this category, is he knows me because he's constantly dealing out grace. He's constantly saying, Nick, all right, I got you. I died on the cross for you. I'm wiping this slate clean. Yep. Oh, you came to me for repentance again. Oh, you did this again. Oh, you did that again. Oh, you know, through my life, I feel like sometimes Jesus knows me because of the wrong I did. Or does he know me because I'm constantly in that prayer mode, or I'm constantly in his word meditating over that? And a lot of times, I'm not. A lot of times, it's not the case that that's how he knows me. I feel like a lot of times he knows me because he's constantly having to go to God, and he's like, God, I know. I see it. I get it. But he's one of ours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm that Christian who's needing that grace. Not that we don't, we all need it, but I'm the one maybe that, I don't know, it's been a while, but Dan was on here on the show, and he was like, that cheap grace.
Yeah.
That, hey, I got the grace card. I can do whatever I want.
Man, I wish I had that card.
Well, we do. We just shouldn't use it everywhere we go.
It's not a big card. It's supposed to be a little card, right? Like, we're cashing in a little card is the goal. No, I think that's really good. But that's not the way you want them to know you.
No.
Like, you don't want to constantly have to. No, you constantly want to go back in repentance. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
You got to be trying to walk away from that, too. Like, it can't be just continual. What am I trying to say?
I think it can't be our only relationship.
Yeah.
With there we him. Go. It's the constant hey, I need out of this. I need that get out of jail free card.
Right.
And Jesus was like, this was get out of eternal jail card. And you're like, yeah, well, I need to swipe it a couple more times.
Yeah.
But if that's the only reason you're going to him, I think about parent-child relationship. If all your child does as a teenager is come to you for, hey, I need some money for gas, or I need this and I need that. Yes, you're wanting to help your child out. You're wanting to do those things. But at some point, it's like, that's the only reason you're coming to me.
Yeah.
At some point, there's got to be this, hey, you know what? Not today. You need to grow up and you need to figure this out.
You need to figure it out. I will
always be here for the big stuff, but you got to do this for yourself. You got to figure this out. Sometimes that's where my mind goes is that parent-child relationship.
No, I think that's a good relationship thing there. And when you bring in end times or the second coming of Jesus and you think about that and like the people without the oil for their lamps, they went to beg for some from the other people and they're like, I only got enough for myself.
Yeah.
And ultimately, like, Nick can't build my relationship with Jesus. He can help me to know Jesus, but he probably can't help Jesus to know me, like on a deeper level, if I'm not willing to try and build that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you're unwilling to try and work on that relationship and that communication, what is it, the vertical relationship, and then you have your horizontals, right? Like, if you're not willing to go above your horizontal relationships to work on it with God, then how is he going to know you?
Yeah.
He's going to know that he created you. He knows those things, but you didn't return that respect at all.
Yeah.
So you go and knock on the door, and he's like, hey, buddy, I'm sorry, but
I knew you. I offered you that citizenship card.
Yeah.
But you didn't accept that card.
You remember that day, April 12th, 2022?
Yeah.
Like, do you remember when I spoke to you there and then you lived the next 30 years and didn't respond to any of that? And I had to go to the next person?
I think the way you said that flows really well into the next part of Matthew 25. Actually, let's drop down to 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will place the sheep on the right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. And here's where I think this really ties in is, well, how will Jesus know me? What are those things that I can be? You know, we talk about prayer. We talk about, you know, reading scripture. But here's some other things. Verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer because they're confused. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you drink? And when did we do all those things? Drop down to 40, and here's the king's response. He says, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it for me. Verse 21, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, and enter into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. And he continues on there, like we said, verse 44, then they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry? I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do this for the least of these, you did not do this for me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So it's kind of really repetitive there. But basically he's saying to the righteous, because they were confused, Lord, we didn't see you. We can't physically see you. He's going to be like, no, but remember what you did to my people, to the least of these. And then to the same thing to the unrighteous, they're saying, Lord, whoa, we didn't see you. trying to make excuses. It's like, no, if we would have seen you, we would have done those things.
Right.
He's saying, you should have seen me, though. Should have seen me within these lease of these people. And you didn't. I think just that section there makes me think, and again, room for growth here, makes me think of one of those ways where we could know, where Jesus would know us, because we're doing the things that he's called us to do.
Man, you're reading that, and I'm just thinking, like, come back to the comment I made earlier, like, Jesus knows us. He created us. Well, he didn't just create you. He created the least of these. He created everything around us. And how do you put God in the midst of everything? Mm-hmm. But yet, we have a tendency to ignore it all.
Yeah.
The opportunity is presented every day in everything that we do to thank God, to worship God, to maybe feed somebody, to maybe clothe somebody, to maybe give somebody $5. That's how he's going to know us, is we're constantly trying to do kingdom work for his glory, not for our own glory, but as we're walking in our daily lives, are we trying to make Aaron look big, or are we trying to make God look big?
I love that. Man, this whole thing here made me think, and when I was thinking this earlier, I thought of it, and now again, I'm thinking about it again, but we have done an episode before with a group called Destiny Rescue.
Yeah.
And what they do is they rescue children out of the sex trafficking world across the world. And we've actually had
Chris Russell
on the show. No, that's probably been 2 years ago now. I think we've talked about getting him on, but he's a pretty busy man. Maybe if he hears this, he'll want to reach out. But one of the things they do to help raise money for that, I think it was like $1,500 rescues, is what's needed by the end of the day to get a child out of that industry. And this will be for the local people, but they're having a huge garage sale at one of the local churches. Actually, it's your church, I think, this year. And they're going to start taking donations here soon, but people donate their stuff, and then they sell it. And 100% of the proceeds go towards getting those kids out of that industry. And I just happened to see this come across Facebook the other day. The sale starts on Thursday, August 24th. And so that would be a way, in my mind, when I think of this, a way to support the least of these, the way to do those things.
I think that is one of, obviously, many ways, but that is a very good way locally. And even if you're not local, if you reach out to us, we can send you a link that will directly go to that fund, as they always end up with cash donations as well.
Yeah.
During that, and the 1 year, Nick and I actually sat at the garage sale and just talked to people.
Yeah.
And we released an episode at that garage from that garage sale, was part of the Destiny Rescue.
Yeah, Jessica puts this on every year. She takes donations, and I'm telling you, they have so much stuff.
Oh, it's crazy.
And they sell so much stuff. And I think right here in the post, she says they've raised over $100,000 from a garage sale that they do every year.
Yeah.
And it's saved over 60 children from being in that. And again, this is not a hey, come support this cause. You can support any cause you want. You can do anything. This just popped in my mind. They didn't ask us to say this, but I had seen this on Facebook. To me, this is one of those ways the least of these need help. Lots of people need help. Everyone needs help. But the least of these, when did you see me? Did you see me unclothed? And did you help me with clothes? Did you see me when I was sick? And did you help me? Well, no, I didn't see you, Lord. Yeah, but you had an opportunity to see me through other people. I don't know. We'll link that in the description of the video. You can go check that out. Do with it what you want. That just popped in my mind. Just an opportunity.
You're saying, like, did you feed me? Did you come see me when I was sick? Were you the hands and feet of Jesus? Mm. Like, are you being his hands and feet? That's how he's going to know you.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to build the relationship. And oftentimes when you go and you pray for that individual and their life is altered, rather if they're sick and they're healed, like, you have that opportunity to pray for them, and then you get to see the fruits of it. Now, it doesn't always work that way, right?
Yeah.
But when you get to see it, it is such a stinking blessing.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't do the healing. Jesus did it, right?
Yeah.
But he granted you the privilege of seeing his work.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge part of how you know that you know that you know, is that you get to see him do miracles. Because miracles still happen. It's not him walking the streets and healing the blind, and but it still happens to this day. And that's a huge, to me, that's a, like we're sitting here talking, that's a huge part of knowing that you know that you know he knows you.
I love it.
I think another great example, and the guy was all over the place, he messed up too, right? Like he was on the highs of the highs and the lows of the lows. If you go and read some of the Psalms, David, we're going to go to 139, verse 1 through 6 here, is a great example of you realizing that Jesus is in every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
So it starts out, you searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Just like the realization that he knows when you're going to sit, he knows when you're going to stand. He knows the words that are going to come out of your mouth of the tongue that you can't control before you even speak them. Like just putting God in every aspect of your life as you go throughout the day.
And I think that relationship that you know me, Lord, that David's talking about is not just a, hey, we're acquaintances down the road. This is a deep relationship that he has with Jesus, with God. And he's saying, we're so tight, you know all this about me.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we need to be.
Yeah. And there, I think there's that fear behind that too. The fear of God. And you know what's going to come out of my mouth. I need to learn to control my thoughts and my tongue. But just that deep reverence and that deep fear of God not knowing you.
Yeah.
So that when you knock, he knows who you are. So I think this week, man, just sit back and reflect on what you think your relationship looks like. Maybe write it down. What does my relationship actually look like?
Do I know Jesus? That's good. But does he also know me and why? I love that. All right, do that and then join us next week right back here on the Two Fish Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in this week. If you enjoyed this episode, hit those like and subscribe buttons. Also, head over to twofishpodcast.com to join the rest of the Two Fish community and all of our social media platforms.